Bill, it's been a while, but it's time to get personal.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about your personal life. Listeners love that stuff.
You guessed it. It's time to get personal.
Bill, a recent study has come out that 1/3 of Americans have been in a fight.
Yeah. That's it? Bill, 1/3? That's it?
Well, that's kind of a lot.
I mean, are they Americans or adults?
The study said Americans.
All right. Well, I mean, have you been in a fight? You know the answer for me.
I was thinking about this. I'm going to say no. Like physical, like I've never thrown punches. Like I had a skirmish in seventh grade, but it didn't really amount to anything. And I've gotten in like tussles. Like I've been in, like amongst like a bunch of people, kind of like brawls, but I've never been in like a one-on-one, like
mano-a-mano, duke 'em up.
Yeah, like I've never done that. And actually terrifies me. The thought of it's very scary, but
I mean, now, unless somebody insulted the honor of a woman that I was with, or if I was literally fearing for my like life and I couldn't run, I would fight. Like at this point, I'm not going to fight anybody unless it's legitimately necessary.
What about your past, Bill? Have you been in a fight?
Quite a few. Record? It's okay. In the long run, I don't like to really say this because you know some of the people I wound up being friends with, but just word to the wise, don't fight me because it doesn't end well.
What do you mean, Bill?
I don't really like to talk about it as much anymore, but a few of the people that I've tussled with have, you know, actually, unfortunately, not survived their pick of the pods, if you will. Totally unrelated to fighting me, but...
No, I've been told when we were younger, when we've, you know, when we were in the groove of being with each other, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and, you know, 10 years ago, whatever, all the time for that long stretch, that if you fought Billy D, you died.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about pop culture that they like, and the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Welcome in to the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. You can follow me at Jason D. Rossi across all the social media platforms. And you can follow this little show right here over on the Twitter machine at Pop Culture PD. You're going to want to do that because we're going to have a little Polsky coming up at the end of this. And when you do, it'll instantly make you not fight my co-host here. And with me, as always, is that co-host, my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. He can be followed along on Twitter at BillyYee2411 and across all other social media platforms at BillyD2411, including the 18 plus OnlyFans, where we are getting the long duck dong shots going on during the Pineapple Boys. You can check him out at his OnlyFans. Again, that is at BillyD2411. And for the remainder of 2021, they're doing it for just 99 cents per month. And you get all full frontal, ladies and gentlemen, especially you ladies. And all you have to do is use the code BillysBigD2411. He is my co-host in the podcast sphere, or my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. He is Billy D. What's going on, man?
Well, I'm also your co-host in the podcast sphere, so that also is true. Hello. That fighting thing really shocks me because I know a lot of people have been in fights. So maybe it's just where I grew up. But you grew up in Everett, so.
Well, yeah, 1/3, though, when you really break it down, like, even if you know, like, 30 people that have been in a fight, keep asking. Like, I don't know, fights, not something.
I mean, even the girls I grew up with, you know, threw hands.
Well, Bill, it's funny you say that, because the study actually says that 23% of the people, hold on, let me get this right. 1/3 of us have been in a fight, 36% of people said yes, including 23% of women and half of men. So half of the men that were asking this, that
all right, that makes a little more sense.
And 23% of women have been in a fight before in their lives, and over 25% of the people that said yes said they've been in multiple. So if you're a fighter, it's not a one and done. You're not a prize fighter.
Yeah, I mean, usually it's a kid who's a picker-oner or a picked on, so it kind of it's perpetuating.
Yeah, I don't like that. If you are hearing our wonderful voices, please subscribe and review over on iTunes. Search Pop Culture Pile Driver. Three words. Again, leave a 5-star review. You can find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music. Hold on. There's some other outlets here I can tell you about. Deezer, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, Boomplay, Ghana. That's the biggest podcast outlet in India. yeah, you would think. It's G-A-A-N-A. So Ghana. Anyways,
take your word for it.
Google Podcast, Player FM, Amazon Music, Audible. That's right. You like to listen to books, you can listen to us morons talk as well. You get a lot of options in this world. And the fact if you are listening to us right now, we appreciate you so very much. Like and subscribe over on the YouTube by searching Pop Culture Pile Driver. And we are on Facebook as a part of the Dork Shared Gooniverse, along with hashtag Dork, Change My Mind, Mac and Goo, and the streamers, which we'll talk about later. You can check out some merch over at TeePublic. Search for Pop Culture Pile Driver. Music from Oh Yeah.
Oh Yeah.
Any fall music from Oh Yeah?
Yeah, they're coming out with a music video too, actually, very soon for one of their songs. So
who did the video?
Not me, for once. Oh, yeah, they went outside. They probably went to a real professional. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
If you also are a fan of the show, like all of us at the Dorkshire Gooniverse, in I Think You Should Leave, go check out. It's a chunky!
Or exclamation point! That's okay, a chunky!
That's a chunky. Over on TeePublic as well. If you're watching us visually over on YouTube, you see some of the wonderful designs that Billy Yee put together.
Selling like hotcakes, by the way. So keep it up.
Love it. Hotcakes and a sausage at McDonald's. Does a bunny good. Our nonprofit partner in this podcast is Frank Says Hi, and we are raising funds for those affected by cancer and experiential events, from students going to college or giving direct funds to patients at Dana-Farber, including just a little over a year ago, we sponsored and purchased a wedding dress and helped outfit people for a wedding to cancer patients that unfortunately had terminal illnesses, but had a wonderful wedding day. All the little things do help. You can check out all the information and ways to support at franksishigh.com. Bill, today, the main event, the big topic of the day is rewinding the clock. Not one, not two, but 3 decades, 30 years ago, we were wee little guys just getting out of our diapers because we were late bloomers. I don't judge. Listen, we're going to be back in diapers in 30 years from now, probably. But it was 1991. It was a major year in the world. Obviously, you can say that about every year. There's a lot of stuff that happened here. But we are going to do our jukebox. So we're going to look at the Billboard Top 100 for the year 1991. We'll tell you some of the songs that stand out to us. And then we're going to put it up for a vote. What song will be etched in time in the Pop Culture Pile Driver jukebox, Bill? Anything when you first looked at this, before even getting to music, the year of 1991, anything when you heard about it, thought about it, what jumped out to you?
I had no idea what to expect. I know we've done some early 90s ones before, but this one, it was just all over the place. And I think we've said this before about the early decade stuff and the late decade stuff. It doesn't know what it is yet. It's trying to figure it out. You got some hanging on stars from the 80s and a couple of the songs that you hear here, like Poison's contribution to the top 100. It is awful. It sounds like everything else they did. And I just, some of this stuff,
not a Poison.
I never, like, for a lot of these, when I'm going through them on Spotify, because that's kind of how I review it, as I go to their list, and they're all on there. You just type in 1991 Bill, and the rest comes up.
Just you.
Yep. Tons of these were not liked by me, and that's not usually the case, because I like top 100 stuff. And this one had the biggest gap I've ever seen of songs that I like and didn't like. There was like literally 30 songs I didn't touch previous to listening to this thing.
So it's funny. I find the YouTube videos of Billboard. They do 200, so I have to wait about 10 minutes till they get to the top 100. And then I start listening. I go, oh, what? I've never heard this song. Oh, what? Huh? Oh, that was my reaction. But Bill, the year is 91. Yeah, that's me.
Got to do a little watch along for that one.
I'll just invite you over and I'll FaceTime you and I'll say, oh, Bill, I'm about to listen. Sports champions in the year of 1991.
Oh, my God. 1991.
This is tough. I'll be honest.
Basketball.
Basketball. What do you
Pistons?
Got? No.
Lakers?
No. Think.
91. Who's big in 91?
It's obvious. Stop overthinking.
It's obvious?
Who?
The Spurs?
No, Bill. It was the 90s. Who won all the championships in the 90s?
The Bulls didn't win in 91.
91, 92, 93 was their three-peat.
Are we sure?
100, yes.
Really?
Then Michael. Then 94, 95 was the Rockets. Then they came back and they won the next three.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Obviously, duh. All right.
Last week I was wrong about some stuff. This week I'm right about some stuff. It's a balancing act. Who won the Stanley Cup, Bill? Who won the Stanley Cup?
Fucking no clue. I'm going to go. Was it the Messier year?
No.
Rangers? No.
That was 99.
The San Francisco Giants.
That's not even a hockey team.
I don't know.
Think of like very popular teams in the early 90s.
The Penguins?
Penguins, Bill. Nailed
it. Oh, got it. Third try.
The name NFL, of baseball. The Super Bowl was won by?
Dallas Cowboys.
Nope. You already said this team, but for the wrong city and the wrong sport.
San Francisco 49ers.
Nope, that was the right wrong city. You said another team. That
the
also
New York high. Football Giants.
Bingo. Phil Simms, baby, getting his ring.
Baseball. By the way, if Phil Simms is – I think our guy there, Mac Jones, is going to be Phil Simms. He's fine.
I'll take – if he's Phil Simms, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Gets a ring. It could have won two, but – got injured, but what do you got for baseball, Bill? Who won the World Series in 91?
The San Francisco Giants. I don't fucking know. Great no clue.
This one I couldn't
even... The Toronto Blue Jays.
Great guess. They were in the World Series, but didn't win. They won in 92.
Oh, fuck. They
weren't in this one. The Braves lost to this team.
The Braves lost to this team.
And I'll be honest, I didn't remember. So the Reds won in 90. Blue Jays 92, and I knew those two. I had no idea in 91 and couldn't even tell you anything about this team. Well,
And the Braves lost to them, so they're an American League team, right?
Yep.
So American League early 90s?
Yep. Do you want a clue?
Oakland A's? Did they have a win?
Not the Oakland A's. A very famous player of theirs went blind and died.
Oh, the Twins?
The Twins won the World Series in 1991. Bill, congratulations. You got nothing. Bill.
I mean, I know Kirby Puckett.
Kirby Puckett.
I named a fish Kirby once when I was little after Kirby Puckett. What and I found out he was a dick.
The fish was or the human being?
Yeah, the human being. Fish died after like 10 days.
R.I.P. to Kirby. This was the music, the year that Christian music made the big crossover and the peak of Christian music in the Billboard Top 100. Bill, 1991, we lost the legendary Freddie Mercury.
That's sad.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the Queen movie?
I didn't see it, actually, and I heard it should have won an award not for best editing, but most editing. So I am interested to see it because I am a guy who likes a lot of cuts, but not unnecessary cuts.
Bill, this is Cesaro doing the swing cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of cuts, but it didn't bother me. I love the movie. Bill, this is also the year that we got Nirvana exploded onto the scene, not involved in the top 100 here, as we'll give you some of those numbers, but this was the rise or the beginning of the rise of grunge in music.
Nataj.
Yeah. We also get Nielsen SoundScan becoming the number one source for music sales. Previous to this, they were using different outlets. But yeah, like Rolling Stone and everything, Nielsen became the it thing. And to this day, still a major part of things. Just how the hell do they count it? I don't know. Well, I do, but not in television. That just blows my mind. Bill, what was the number one movie in 1991?
True Lies.
Good guess.
Really?
Right actor, wrong year. Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think True Lies, I was a little bit older because I remember enjoying it like when it came out.
Oh, Bill, you enjoyed one scene. And don't forget, just a good movie. Bill, highest selling album in 1991 was Mariah Carey's self-titled debut.
I mean, she is all over this goddamn list, and rightfully so. She was an absolute megastar. Unfortunately, she's pretty much known now for All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Told you, best song she ever made. Bill, here's a wild situation. So I was looking at the Grammys. Obviously, it'd be the next year, 92. Everything was won by freaking Natalie Cole with Nat King Cole for their album, record, everything, that freaking Unforgettable, where they did like the balance of Nat King Cole's voice with Natalie Cole. The album of the year was also Natalie Cole, Unforgettable with Love. It was just a year of that.
Synergy. It's the synergy of the Nat.
A lot of synergy there of the Coles. Best new artist, though? Mark Cohn.
Mark Cohn? Yep, the pitcher? For the Yankees and other teams?
Nope, but I once said on the air, Bill, that Mark Cohn was dead. He was shot dead in Memphis.
Was he?
Nope, but he was shot in Memphis. And I said he was dead, and I got many phone calls during a 8 to 12 shift on, at the time, an adult contemporary radio station. People were like, he's not dead. He's not dead. I think you have your information wrong. He's not dead. And this wasn't when Google was.
I mean, a lot of on-air people have killed people who weren't dead yet, so it happens.
Yeah, this is like Google wasn't what it is today, we'll just say. All right, let's jump into it, Bill. The rules that we have for our jukebox is it has to be a song that landed in the top 100 of the year in that year's Billboard. So you can go through our history. We've done 1990, 2001, 2003, 1983. We've had a few other years. I think those are the last four we did. I believe we did 1999 was the first one, so you can kind of go back. But being the podcaster's dozen that we do, the top 11 songs of 1991. Number 11, Boys to Men, Motown Philly. What a jam.
Backing it.
Here comes some of that Christian rock. Amy Grant with Baby Baby. Surface, The First Time. Tell you right now, don't know what that song is. High Five, The Way I Like It, The Kissing Game. What an underrated, like, forgotten song of this time.
Is it, though?
I felt like that was, I remember as a kid, this song, hearing it a lot. Extreme, More Than Words.
Oh, this song can fucking take a hike. I hate this song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's an incredible song.
Darry Sharon, Embarrassment to Malden / Benny.
Oh, come on. Sharon's a man. He didn't attend a Frank Says Hi, but he attended when we did we did that like rally when Frank was still with us in Malden High. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, he was there. Good time. All right.
You're in secret.
EMF, Unbelievable, which is the only song on this list that has a swear that airs in it several times.
Also, this list, the whole thing, a lot of jock jams came out of this.
Good point. Timmy T, One More Try.
I had no clue. And I consider myself at least the, you know, surface level music, very, you know, well versed.
Yeah, I agree.
And I was, what the hell is this?
I know the song. I had no idea who Timmy T was.
Well, yeah. I was, what the fuck? Like, what are we doing here?
Paula Abdul at number 4 with Rush Rush. Not a very mainstream popular hit for her.
And I love Paula Abdul. Straight up. Like, but, you know, she was one of my mom's favorites, but no clue.
And this one. Bill, I'm just going to throw it out here. Google Paula Abdul 1991.
Oh, yeah. She's still kind of a fox a little bit.
Oh, no. She's very minxy at this time. But she, and like, she was minxy and hot even when she did, like, American Idol. And that was, like, what, 12, 20 years ago, it feels like. But this time, 1991, I had a look. I'm like, oh, man, she was, wow. CNC Music Factory, Gonna Make You Sweat, was number 3, which, what a freaking jam. Talk about you said jock jams. This blew my mind, Bill. The number 2 song in 1991.
Color Me Bad, baby.
Color Me Bad, I Want to Sex You Up, which is probably one of the dumbest songs ever made.
Yeah, and they're a ragtag group of are they a boy band? They're like men, so they don't consider them. They were super,
they were a boy band.
But they looked old as hell. They all looked like the oldest member of the New Kids on the Block, the oldest Jordan kind of looked, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Jordan Knight's older brother. Whatever, Wayne Knight or whatever.
Little Wayne Knight. It's just so weird. And like the other thing about Rush Rush, I did always like, you know, I always thought it was Hush Hush. So when I saw it, I was like, what is this? And then I heard it. I was like, oh, it's Rush
Hush. Hush Hush, 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 Hush. And then the number 1 song in 1991, Bryan Adams, Everything I Do It For You, aka the song from Robin Hood.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly. The Canadian people I know have apologized many times for Bryan Adams, but this is just trash. I hate this song. Like this being the number 1, this is why we have the jukebox, because this does not to be like in at least the pop culture pile driver history. This is not the number 1 song of 1991 for anyone.
No, and like obviously we'll get to our nominees at the end, but for me, when I look at this, And I just see, like, I'm like, nah, that ain't it. No, that ain't it. No, that doesn't do it for me. Like, I want to sex you up being at, like, number two. Like, what are we doing here in 1990?
Like,
being
but at least that feels 91. Like, they looked 91. Bryan Adams, besides the summer of 69, the guy can take a hike to me.
Oh,
like,
he is Bryan Adams, the Canadian Bruce Springsteen. How dare you?
He's so annoying. Like, I just don't like anything but the summer of 69 because that's an absolute jam. But yeah. Just Bryan Adams.
Oh. Dude, Color Me Bad, by the way, had another top 20 hit in this
year. Yeah. Yeah. They were memorable for the year. Bryan Adams could float around, you know, in a lot of, you know, or late 80s, early 90s. He's just he's elevator music, basically.
We'll take a few minutes just to now look at some of these songs, Bill, that stand out. Again, if you guys want to check out the list, you can just Google 1991 top 100, and then there's the good old wiki that has it there for us. By the way, shout out to Wikipedia. I never give you any money, but I appreciate you very much.
Oh, that was going to be my cold open, by the way, was you got to give. I was going to ask, have you ever given to a website that's free but asks for donations? Because I thought about it today because I downloaded the VLC player on another computer, and I was like, ooh, this is one of the best free – this is one of the best, you know, video players ever, and it's free. So I might slide them $5.
The VLC player. It's been a while. Yeah, Wikipedia, I probably should.
We all should. We've all used it millions of times. Hundreds of times.
You ever see when they ask for money? It's such a guilt trip. Because it's like, if every person gave $1, it went through this whole thing. I'm like, oh man, they're so right. Should I give $1? And then I don't.
Yeah.
If Yahoo asked me, if Yahoo.com, back in the day, we used to get the stat track. You have to pay for it for fantasy. By the way, you want to know?
What, fantasy? Oh, God. Yeah.
You got smoked?
I didn't get smoked. If Lamar had a good, strong finish, I could have snuck a win. My percentage was like 2 going into that game. But
you had a lot of points there coming in that Monday night. I saw that. We had like Tucker, Jones, Jacobs. Anyways, but if Yahoo.com asked me for money again, I'd probably give them a couple of bucks because I think they're by far – anybody who plays on any other platform at this point.
They're idiots. Absolute idiots. Everything they do it for you. It is really the best way to host fantasy football, and eventually – if you're in another league, it kind of migrates there because people are like, just go to Yahoo.
It's the best interface. I've done them all. I've done NFL. I've done ESPN. I think ESPN is by far the worst, by the way. I think ESPN is
garbage. Total garbage.
It's all about their articles where, yeah, you can say, so is Yahoo. And Yahoo's made some changes. Their desktop, by the way, of Yahoo is by far the best. The app's good. The app's really good. But, like, the desktop version's insane. But, yeah, like, NFL.com can kick rocks. CBS is absolute trash. But hot garbage, ESPN. You have to do, like, 8 clicks to find out who's available. Don't like
you gotta give.
Yahoo asked me for $5. They get. I might pay for that stupid plus stuff just because I like them. Anywho, 1991, Bill. Songs we wanted. We can ping back and forth of songs we like. Obviously, at the end, we will nominate our 4 for the vote by the wonderful Pop Culture Pile Driver fans or the people listening and the people we force to see our retweets. But let's get into it. Do you want to kick off one that you like? We'll ping it back.
Yeah, I mean, I'll touch on one that we kind of talked about, and it's Baby Baby by Amy Grant. She made the top 10 of this year. I don't know why. Every time I hear the song, I love it. I cut a Baby Yoda video to it earlier in the year. I just think it's one of those songs you hear when it comes on, and yeah, it just makes you kind of feel good. Boom, 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 boom. You know, it's, I didn't even know it was Christian rock, but yeah. I'll take it all day.
The first one that stood out to me as we go, I guess, down the list, coming in at number 15 for the year was Bette Midler, From a Distance.
Oh my God.
This feels like a time capsule, this song. And Bette Midler, I don't want to be hyperbole, but like, what a dynamic talent that really gets no credit. We recently were on the Mac and Goo program with Goo talking about Michael Keaton, movies, going through his best characters. And
don't you dare compare Bette Midler to Michael Keaton.
Well, I am in some instances for this reason. I Googled Bette Midler when I saw this. She has a couple jams, by the way, movies, especially during this late 80s, early 90s period, just insane. She was in so many movies, and she's been like a Broadway actress, all stuff.
She was in Rochelle, right?
Sure. And you know what else she was in, Bill? And a lot of people's wet dreams. She was a fox back in the day too. Nobody talks about her. Nobody talks about, because it was weird cosmetics back in the late 80s. But I'm telling you, Bette Midler, late 80s. Whew, look at her in Hocus Pocus again.
What the fuck? talking about here? I mean, I'm looking at her now. She's not bad.
Well, but now, not 2021. Not that she's bad looking.
No, back then, I mean, she was okay.
Nah, Belle. Please, this is like when Cher, and we didn't look at Cher like she was attractive when we were kids because she had like weird hair, cosmetics were different. You probably think she's more attractive now, her and her Charlotte Flair looks. But I'm telling you, Bette Midler, very attractive. But most important than that, the talent, the dynamicness. This song, listen, I remember having slow dances to this song when I was in elementary school, which was years after.
You were slow dancing in elementary school?
Well, seventh grade, I guess, what do you call it? Middle school. Yeah, From a Distance would always on those playlists, and that would have been 8 years, 7 years later. It's crazy. But yeah, Bette Midler, From a Distance, dig that tune.
Good Lord. Okay, well, see if I can dig us out of that hole. Again, we kind of hinted at her earlier. I think the incredible beauty of the day as well, right up there with Bette Midler, is Mariah Carey. She had a lot on this list, and someday any of her songs, really, yeah. She has another one that kind of sounds almost identical, but it's just got that nice poppy kind of feel to it. She always has an amazing vocal part where she just kind of sings the melody of the song so beautifully. So this is one that I toyed with being my pick for the vault, but just missed out, but it's a solid song, and you forget she had hits like this.
Oh, dude, Mariah Carey slapped during this time, as they say now. Another one here, Bill, coming in at 86, Aaron Neville, Everybody Plays the Fool.
I mean, no exception to the rule. One of my favorite Scrubs moments is when Turk is practicing his Aaron Neville alone in the elevator. Yeah, and I think it's this song, too.
I'm pretty sure
it is. Yeah. Oh, no, it's I don't know much.
Yeah.
But I know
I believe there's also a recurring joke to that, and it comes back into play again later in a different season. But it's not like recurring enough that we continue to see it. I believe there's been two references to Aaron Neville.
Probably.
Yeah. But that's just the genius of Scrubs. Bill Lawrence, please call me. What do you got? What's another one for you here?
Again, this one toyed with being in the vault because it is. I think it's a PCP type of song. Good Vibrations, Marky Mark, and the Funky Bunch. Also, Loretta Halloway, for some reason, never knew she was included on the song. But this is one of those songs. It does give you good vibrations. It's got a great scene in my movie. I was going to say Sean John. Talk about your 90s apparel. But Don John, just a great scene. It's one of those songs, almost sweet. And I think that's one of my favorite things. Do you watch New Girl?
No.
There's a character on there, Schmidt, who had, I think in a few different scenes, I'm going to swing.
Dance. I toyed with this one, too. I toyed with this one a lot.
It's a great song. It's a good song.
Because I also think when I get to my selections, and I'll give you my breakdown, and we'll get to that in a few moments, but I try to look at songs that I think kind of stand the test of time, but also really remind you of this era, and that this was close. I just want to, we talked about Mariah Carey. She's not going to be on our list here, but you said Someday. She had Emotions. I Don't Want to Cry, Love Takes Time, four massive songs for her. Obviously, Emotions and Someday are the ones we can probably look back on to this day. But that was a huge, she was the only one, I believe, with four songs on there. A couple other artists had three and a couple had two.
And this is probably one of her first appearances on the list, same with Boyz II Men. And I believe they had, at one point, the longest running stretch of consecutive weeks at number one with One Sweet Day. I think it was unseated by actually Lil Nas X.
Recently, that is the truth. Who won the VMA for Video of the Year for a video nobody saw?
I did. Pretty good. Montero.
You know what I mean.
Well, nobody watches videos.
Videos aren't a thing. Also, trying to see here. There was another one I was just looking at. So I'm going to stick with my guns here with the songs that I went with. But I was really toying. We were talking about this right before we came on. Number 17, Jesus Jones, Right Here, Right Now. One of my personal favorite 90s songs. Absolutely adore this song. I think this song is awesome.
Was this the new Coke commercial too, or the Clear Coke commercial? It was definitely a commercial.
Yeah, it was, but I don't remember what. But just right here, right now, there is no other place I'd rather be. Anybody could sing this song too. That's why I love it.
Terrible. What's the song, the Cherry Cola? Kind of had that feel to me.
Oh, my God. Savage Garden?
Oh, what a song.
Love Savage Garden.
That could be my song, whatever year that came out. That song,
I would say,
rocks.
Chicken Cherry Cola has got to be 97.
Yeah, is that the name of that song?
No, that is don't do this to me. I have so much music in my head right now. It was, hold on, if you do find it, give me a second. I'm only giving myself another 10 seconds at most. Oh, it's like one word. I don't remember it.
No, it's, is it I Want You?
Yeah, I Want You. Oh, there it is. Ooh, I want you, I don't know. You're right, it's the same voice though. I don't know if I need you, but
very, very throaty. I'm
dying to find out. Right here, right now. Anyways, Jesus Jones. Love him. Appreciate him. Really, really. I'm telling you, one of those, like, always, always on, like, my 90s playlist whenever I used to create those.
I'll rifle off a few here. Yeah. Heavy D and the Boys, Now That We Found Love.
Yes.
One of my mom's favorite songs of all time. That is another, it's kind of like Good Vibrations, just, you know, just another jock jammy type of songs. The Divinyls, I Touch Myself. I would have said this was late 80s.
Same. But
stuck in there in 91, Tom's Diner. Do, do, do,
do, do, do, I was do, close do, to my song too. Yeah,
it's a good one. Around the Way Girl, LL Cool J. I would have figured this was way higher because for me, this was a huge song in, you know, the radio stations I listened to. So it was 60, it was 64. And LL Cool J had already been a little bit established by then.
Oh yeah, no, he well established in the late 80s, and then this was him kicking into that like next gear right before Doing It.
Also, Signs, is that a cover by Tesla? Was that the original Signs? I didn't even look that up.
Signs,
what a fucking shit song that is.
I hate that song very much.
Oh.
I just never got into it. Not for me.
All right, and then really close to making mine here, not Gerardo Rico Suave, who came in at 89, which I picked in one of our little things. But I love that song. Strike It Up, Black Box, I think is underrated.
Yes. What a song, Bill. It was one of the ones I was about to bring up. I think this song also. Talk about jock jams.
I mean, there are legit on the original jock jam. It must have came out in like 92 because there are
94, but okay. A lot of these songs were on here.
There's like five definite ones that were on here without question, and that is 100% one of them. I believe Davey picked this in our one-hit wonders, one of the few one-hit wonders he actually picked that night. Groove Is in the Heart, Delight, which is a delight of a song. And then
just so you know, 1995 was the first jock jam. Strike It Up on there. I'm trying to think of any of the other songs. CMC
had to have been on there.
Unbelievable by MF, which we are on, is on here. Technotronic Pump Up the Jam, not on there, but Just What a Jam. Yeah, this album might be one of the, this literally could be one of the best, like, soundtrack-y, I don't know what you would call this, collaborative albums of all time. It's literally insane. I think
it's better than the Now That's What I Call Music. It was just that version of, you know, jock jams.
Or, I have
know,
to look.
They made a sports one. Also, yeah. I mean, technically it doesn't count because I think it charted at number 8 the year previous. But George Michael's Freedom snuck on here
at
95, but he charted higher in the year previous. So it's still one of my favorites. It's just a great song.
Oh, absolutely. Agree with you there. The only other ones that jumped up to me here, Lenny Kravitz, It Ain't Over Till It's Over. You could have told me this song came out in 1997.
You could have told me this song was a cover from 1975. Like, this feels like it could have been, like, you put this up now and it would be a hit. It's just a timeless song. And I really didn't think it was his original song.
Yeah, this song is fantastic. I'm a huge Lenny Kravitz fan. Very good live, very sexual as well. So, and every so often, every so often his dink comes out.
There was a great show that followed the soup one time. It was called The Comment Section. Yep. And they would just post comments. And somebody posted a comment to that video where his, you know, Johnson fell out. It's like, that's the biggest dude. That's the biggest thing he's dropped since I had to go my way.
That's amazing. And also he rings up. This one was close as well. Summertime, DJ Jazzy Jeff, Fresh Prince.
Yep, absolutely. One of our summertime playlist picks for you.
Yep. And this was so close to making it for me because I just, again, another one of those songs that you could put on today and just let it ride. I'm trying to think if there's any other song. Oh, Cream by Prince.
Mm.
Another, not my favorite Prince work, but it's not on the Batman album, but still dig it. And then you said, as you get lower on this, you have some like songs that you're like, wow, like REM, Shiny Happy People. Personally love this song, but just like that comes in at number 100.
Yeah, it's weird, right? It's a weird year.
It is. In Excess was on this list. You mentioned, we mentioned Aaron Neville, Jesus Jones, real. Don't even know what that song is. I'm going to have to check it out. But two Jesus Jones songs.
So, yeah. And what is it? Vanilla Ice made an appearance with Play That Funky Music, White Boy. I know, to Davey's point, it debuted at number one, but it's not a hit.
No.
Just because something debuts at number one, I guess it technically makes it a hit, but that song sucked.
Yeah. So very quickly, then we'll nominate the artist that made multiple appearances in 1991 Top 100, Amy Grant. You had Bryan Adams. We mentioned Everything I Do, and then Can't Stop This Thing We Started. CMC Music Factory with three. Kathy Dennis, who I don't know who she is, had three songs. Gonna have to Google her later. Just don't know her. Color Me Bad had two. You had Extreme, More Than Words, and then Wholehearted, your favorite band. you had High Five with The Kissing Game coming number eight, and then I Can't Wait Another Minute. You had Jesus Jones with two. You have Mariah Carey, who mentioned the four she had. She's the only one with four. Michael Bolton, Bill. Mikey Bolts comes in with two there as well.
More elevator music.
Yep. Paul Abdul, we talked about Rush, and The Promise of a New Day. REM had two as well. And we, Rick Astley on here, by the way. Rod Stewart.
Man.
Rhythm of the Heart. Not a Rod Stewart fan?
I mean, all of those guys, Michael Bolton, Rod Stewart, Bryan Adams, you can kind of put them in a pile and, you know, I like their biggest hits, maybe, and that's about it. I mean, I don't celebrate any of their entire catalogs. They kind of just meh.
Roxette had two songs on here, another jammed. By the way, another song, just like Lenny Kravitz, Seal, Crazy.
Yeah, but not good Seal, though. Not good Seal.
Oh, I think it's great Seal. Doing a little crazy. Bill, do you know the artist Tara Kemp?
Nope.
Neither do I, but she had two hits on 1991. And UB40, Bill, had two songs in 1991.
Back to back, and neither of the ones you care about.
Yeah, The Way You Do. Wait, The Way You Do the Things You Do. And
the Way You Do the Things You Do. It's fine. It's not anything to move the needle, though.
And then there's also Here I Am, Whitney Houston, I'm Your Baby Tonight, meow. And then All the Man That I Need. Another very, very sexually driven artist here. We didn't really talk enough about. Wilson Phillips also had two songs that I don't think anybody knows.
Again, not the hits. This is why 91 was weird. It's a lot of carryover. It's a lot of people who had one big hit, kind of living off that success a little bit, or two kind of hits.
I got to find out who the hell Tara Kemp was. She had to be one of those Christian artists because they were all.
Could be one of Sean Kemp's kids.
Could be. That. I think this is like when he was like a rookie. No, he came in the 80s. All right, Bill. So what is your first nominee to go into the jukebox here for 1991?
Well, I'm going to make you sweat till you bleed. I mean, that's what it's called. And then, you know, in parentheses, Everybody Dance Now. CNC Music Factory. But I mean, if this song doesn't come on and you start moving around, I remember our friends Kevin and Josh had just like a head movement dance to like the beginning of the song. It's just an all-time, you know, banger of a song. And for this one to be at number three for the year, it's kind of like a clubby, you know, sports song. For it to make it that high with, you know, was electro pop kind of.
Yeah, I would say a little Euro trash in there.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this is, you're always going to remember this song. Will live kind of forever in movies or TV or, you know, at sports games.
Yeah, an absolute jam of a song. Could see all these. Well, I'll wait for me to put my horrible picks in here. First one for me, Bill, is I think one of the more recognizable songs of the year to this day. I think The Mandolin stands the test of time itself just because it has such a great breakdown. REM, Losing My Religion. This song to me has so many weird vibes to it. Like,
it's and a video weird that lives in it for me too.
Yeah, Michael Stipe with hair, by the way, the rare Michael Stipe hair video. But this is just one of those songs that like almost borderline makes you uncomfortable because it's like surrounded around religion, but the meaning behind it has nothing to do with religion. But just the music, the composing of it, the way it's put together, the production value, like that mandolin thing literally to this day is another one of my favorites. I feel like I'm you today. One of my favorite things like in music is just like that change of course, like the song's going one direction, then this mandolin breakdown and like the somber ending to this song too, when it's like Like this song to me, there's just so much about it that I love. I'm just, I'm not going to say I'm the biggest REM fan, but I think it's one of those bands I don't give enough credit to. But this song screams early 90s. This song screams like what was happening as we were getting into grunge and like the vibe of the song, the lyrical content, kind of where this, the standpoint of the storyteller, if you will, or the character in the song. So I absolutely love it. And I will add it in to the potential of winning for this year's Locking Into the Jukebox. What's your next one?
Well, first of all, that's a great pick, though. That's an emotional song. That's a song that you can really dig into lyric-wise. And I treat them kind of like REM a little bit, like Radiohead. I like a couple of their big swings, but I'm not like a fan of the band. But I think I like Radiohead. A few more. Yeah, I think I like more songs overall by REM, especially, That's Great, It Starts With An Total Jam, Tommy Boy. My last selection here, I toyed with it not being there, but it's too on the nose for me. I remember loving this song as a kid. My parents even liked this song. It's Motown Philly. It's Boyz II Men. I mean, how could this not? One of the ultimate all-time boy bands. One of the best summertime songs. I don't know if either of us had this. It's a barbecue song. It's a beach song. doing a little East Coast. I would say peeing back in the day just to be kind of funny. But it is really just a fantastic song. They did a little harmonizing. You were introduced to the guy with Kane who had a really deep voice. So
yeah.
Everything about this song just screams fun. If you watch the video, it's like the 90s outfits with those ridiculous Saved by the Bell, like Max tabletop designs. It's a feel-good song. So I picked two feel-good songs, and you might have picked one of the saddest songs of all time.
What? The next one?
No, your first one.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, yeah. We're going all over the place, but these songs stand out. But it's also like, listen, you can vibe to get Losing My Religion. But for me, the next one is, I remember I was a huge Spin Magazine fan. I used to love Spin Magazine.
At the age of 7?
No. Like as I got older, okay. And I remember when they did like best songs of the 90s, this song was on there. And I used to always be like, this song's stupid.
Oh, no.
This song's dumb. This song might be one of the most Air Candy songs of the 90s. It is a song that balances being super catchy with also kind of being coy and having an underlying.
Oh, not even coy. Well, it's lovely as long as some call it the leanest. It's another 5-letter word rhyming with cleanest or meanest.
Now we know. And even though they're saying it, we didn't really know other people's possession, other people's things. No, it wasn't. It is a body rocking tune that will keep you hooked for years and years. And it's been doing it for over 30. It is Naughty by Nature's OPP. Bill, this song came out in the summer, late in the summer too of 91. If this song came out in like March of 91, it probably would be like one of the top 10 songs of the year.
It really is, Dave, drop a load on him. I believe that's how it starts, but it just has everything to it. Michael Scott tried to make it the intro theme to the Dundies. How can I explain it? But I also love it's another way to call a cat a kitten. I always use that whenever I can. It's just like the inferences. And as a kid, you had no clue what any of these lyrics were about. You call up and it's a girlfriend's or a cousin's house. It's just about cheating. And you don't even comprehend the concept of that until you're like, 25 even. All of the ins and outs of what these people are doing, just get a little bit of other people's penis or pussy.
Whoa!
But that's what he's talking about.
Well, the cat's out of
and
the bag.
And it's a very creative way of getting at it, too, because it's other people's property. Yeah. So it's amazing.
Listen, everybody was saying you down with OPP when we were kids. Like, when we were younger, like, we didn't know what we were even saying. You down with OPP? Yeah,
and Loving Color spoofed it. You down with MSG.
hilarious. But, yeah, so those will be our four songs. These are all, in their own right, huge.
I think this is the best group of four we've ever had.
Ooh, I'm going to look into that. So for Billy, it's going to make you sweat. Everybody Dance Now by CMC Music Factory and Motown Philly. All one word, by the way, from Boyz II Men. For me, it was Losing My Religion by REM and OPP, Naughty by Nature. Sorry, Jesus Jones, you know how much I love you. Bill, if you just had to take a stab, popular vote here, who's going to get this? Who's going to be in the 1991 jukebox? You're muted.
I know our guy Wes from the Defunct Boxers podcast. I think losing his religion literally, you know, saved his life as a youth. So he'll probably, I think that'll get a lot of the votes, but I think it could be split with OPP. I think my two will get the lowest amount of votes. So you might technically win a poll here.
I don't, well, no, I'm not taking any dubs here. It's, we all win. But my guess is OPP. My guess is OPP. But could easily see like a CMC Music Factory just because the genre of people that might see this poll. But you never know. It might get retweeted out to the world. I'm going to put it on Reddit, some random subreddit, and just watch. I'm going to put it on like the Naughty by Nature one and get like 5,000 votes. On that note, Bill, that is the year of 1991. I think we put together, like you said, this is arguably one of the best four packs we put.
Mm-hmm.
Go listen to some of this music. Again, I don't even, still don't know who some of these artists are. I forget already who I said. Tara Kemp.
Yeah.
We're going to have to find out who Tara Kemp is. But aside from that, fun year of music, randomly all over the place. And again, the Minnesota Twins, Bill. It's all about them Minnesota Twins. And the San Francisco Giants, even though they, I don't even
slash know. Slash 49ers.
I don't even know if they won a game. Oh, yeah, I'm a bit out of my mind. Oh, watching, listening, what's in the mind that needs to come out?
All right, so I went back and I watched the Dark Side of the Ring, the Montreal Screwjob, because it was the only one I hadn't seen, because I was like, I've seen this before. And you know what? I've seen it all before. And you know what? I don't in one iota blame Vinnie Mac. He did what needed to be done, and it confirmed for me even 100 times stronger Bret Hart is the biggest baby in the history of professional wrestling. The way he holds himself up is a disgrace. Like, he thinks he is God's gift to professional wrestling, and it aggravates me that I was such – like, I love him still. Like, I love watching his matches. He was that good. But the ego on this guy is unreal.
Bill, I'm an employee. An employer, I say, hey, Bill, I'm going to make you our top paid dude. You're my man, Billy. I love you. Here's a boatload of cash. And you say, cool, thanks. And then I come back to you. I say, hey, Billy, remember that boatload of cash?
I can't pay you. It happens.
No, Bill, it does not happen.
It happens.
It does not happen.
In companies like that, it happens.
And, okay, so say it happens, which clearly it did. Are you going to be happy? Are you going to be like, oh, no,
no
problem.
He walked. He signed the papers for WCW that day.
He didn't want to. He didn't want to leave. Of course you're going to take the money. At the end of the day, it's about making money in this world.
He could have just said to Vince McMahon, no, I have a contract. You have to pay me. They had an agreement. They made a deal. You can't not pay somebody for 20 years, 1.5. Look at Bobby Bonilla and the Mets.
That's
He would have had to pay him.
But I think the point of where I'm going here is he got a little butthurt about that, which all of us would be. He's an emotional human being. And then they give him the title, which, again, this is where it gets funny. And by the way,
no, God forbid they gave him the title. No,
hold on. The Dark Side of the Ring, that's one of the worst episodes, aside from, like, it's just the people they had. It's like, Scott Hall, what are you, weren't even there. Like, why am I listening to Scott Hall? And Scott Hall's like, Shawn Michaels never said a word to me. Bull
he
crap.
Was there.
He was not there. It was 97.
He was in company.
No, he wasn't. He was gone in WCW in 96. It was all the guests on those first season, it's all good shows. The Macho Man, all of them are good. But just horrible people they had. But they're just starting out. To get Scott Hall's a get, don't get me wrong. But the
I
point
you meant he wasn't in the business.
No, sorry. Yeah, he wasn't at WWF at the time. But my thing is, I never understood why they kept the title on until the day that his contract was up. It doesn't make any sense. But now
– all you had to do was lose in a professional wrestling business. He's a child of the business. I don't care if he was losing it to Hitler. It doesn't matter. You drop the belt when you're told to drop the belt.
That's the best argument I've ever heard. What am I supposed to say to that?
No, but like, what wasn't one of the Von Erich's dad? Didn't he play a Nazi? Like, I don't care if you have to drop it to that guy. It's your job as a historian of wrestling, like he is and his family is. You go out looking at the lights, and I don't care if it's Shawn Michaels. You drop the belt.
The guy's a piece
they
of
gave
crap.
Him a million. They gave him a million ways to do it, and he didn't want to do any of them. He wanted to
control.
He wanted to do crap. You have reasonable creative control.
No, you don't reasonable.
You can't. Yes, it was reasonable. You can't walk out of a company, handed the belts over, being like, "I'm leaving."
See,
no,
great
no,
plan.
No,
great
plan. You cannot do that. That is not how the business works. You got to drop the belt. And if Shawn Michaels is the guy, sorry, he's the guy.
The one thing that still confuses me to this day. So this is where you can believe it. Well, a little bit of a work, a little bit. Is that the Undertaker said numerous times, now that he's talking all the time, or this last year he was, he said, I went to Vince and said, I'll take the belt off him the Monday before. Like, why wouldn't you just do that? Why would you even put yourself in that position? A lot of respect.
Shawn Michaels was the guy. He was huge. DX was giant. Doesn't matter. He was, it's like anything else in life. He was the guy making the headlines. He was moving the needle for the company. You got to give him the belt.
Moving the needle. It was.
You got to give.
Listen, and you know what's still the weirdest part to this whole story is that night at Survivor Series was the last night of Bret Hart and WWF as a competitor. And then less than 2 months later, Shawn Michaels almost breaks his back. Mm-hmm. And then 2 months, he doesn't wrestle again until WrestleMania 14. And then he's gone as well. So your two top pillars in a way of Michaels and Bret Hart both gone within 5 months of each other.
Basically. Which was probably the best thing that ever happened in the company because then Stone Cold took off.
And then they needed somebody, and that's where The Rock quickly became a big build. Obviously, you always had an Undertaker. I've always said I think turnover at the top is a good thing in wrestling. Mm. And nowadays, people just last forever. And, you know, hopefully with AEW and WWE, you'll see more bounce. And speaking of that, Bill, NXT 2.0. Have you heard about this?
Oh, God, what is this?
They changed NXT.
As the Vince McMahon influence. I heard that's a little bit of crap, too.
It is. I'll be honest, watching it, I had to watch on replay. I was rather busy on my Tuesday night, but I did watch as much as I could. And I saw everything all. It's first of all, you got to check out Rick Steiner's son. He looks like Scott Steiner in 93.
Really?
His name's Braun Brickman or Brocksman. I'm getting used to it. So basically all this is they're just bringing a boatload of big dudes because that's a new WWE way. Big dudes.
That's always been the way. Like when Vince McMahon gets his hands on stuff, he doesn't like the little. I mean, and you know what? Maybe I'll start watching wrestling again because I've heard it's getting pretty good in AEW. But I will tell you that 2014 to 2017 NXT is how you book professional wrestling. They did it in an hour. They did more storylines than Raw and SmackDown combined 5 hours. They had more people on TV. Because they keep trotting out people for 4 or 5 segments on the other ones. That is how you book it. You keep people off TV. You get a demand going. And I don't know. I like the wrestling aspect with the storylines that they told down there. And big guys, yeah, they can wrestle now. They're super athletic. I've seen a ton of them. That guy with the hot girl is amazing.
Oh, Karrion Kross.
Yeah, he's great. But I saw that they made him look like a sex predator version of Shredder. Like not sex predator. A dominatrix version of the Shredder.
What a character. Hey, Karrion, we got a new character for you. You're going to be a sex predator.
No,
it's fine. But the thing that your point, though, is that like NXT, simpler to the point, and I think a little bit of what you would love AEW right now because you have all these big names coming in, right? You're getting to see them in different ways each week, but they're not wrestling every week. They're not overexposed. You don't see repeat matches week after week. And you know, our guys at the Jobber Knocker, I said it, take a drink. Mm-hmm. You don't get Monday Night Replay or whatever they call it, rematch.
Rerun. Like,
you don't rerun. Because literally there has been times, Bill, where I still watch every week. I watch so much wrestling.
What is it now? Is it 11 hours?
Of me?
A week.
So I watch 3 hours of Raw, which I'm going to be honest, I don't always watch live. So it's just 3 hours there. Tuesdays, 2 hours of NXT, 5. 2 hours of AEW on Wednesdays, 7. 2 hours of SmackDown on Friday. And then 1 hour now, AEW is the second show, Rampage. That's 10 hours, non-pay-per-view week.
You don't watch NXT?
No, NXT was in there.
No, it wasn't.
Wait, so Raw's 5. NXT's 2. That's 5 hours. 2 for AEW. That's 7. Two for SmackDown, that's 9, and then 1 for Rampage.
Okay.
10 hours every single week I carve out to watch this. And I'll be honest, though, I've been watching a lot more YouTube clips when needed or really fast-forwarding stuff, which I don't like to do, but that's what 3 hours of a single product will do. Like AEW, there's no skips. Even their bad is good, in my opinion. But You would like it. I really think, like, if I were to tell you, obviously NXT is still overall excellent. SmackDown's really good, but
I mean, SmackDown seems like it's like with Roman Reigns and my boys there, the Usos, seems like it's pretty good.
Well, I'll just finish by saying it is good because you also get the rotation. You don't get like a Cesaro every week. You don't get a Sami Zayn every week. You don't get Kevin Owens, and you rotate like in and out each week. It's very good.
All right, so I have been dabbling in TikTok songs.
Excuse me?
Like the popular songs everybody uses on TikTok. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, like Sweetie or whatever the hell her name is.
Oh, wait, no, like, wait, like my, like when my girls, the Noisettes came back, when that like song where it's like, oh crap, I just went on there. When you go on there, it was that, oh crap. It's like when you met somebody, but you'll never
forget. Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with like Boney M coming back, Cruel Summer, which I forget. I think that was Bananarama. The original Cruel Summer, and now there's a Fire remix by Dark After 3, but or After Dark 3, or whatever the hell it is. But like, I like how they're producing, like, whatever songs they're picking for these are really good to edit to. So I'm gonna see if I can take one of those a week and make like a cool edit to. I did like an NBA one today.
Yeah,
it's just that. I haven't edited sports video professionally in a few years, so I want to keep my skills sharp.
I like it, Bill. I like your skills, and I like when they're sharp. I dig it. Obviously, we'd be remiss not to mention the passing of Norm Macdonald, the legend. I think you probably have been watching a lot more clips than I have, but like the moth joke.
Oh, my God.
Just watching clips of his random things that he has done. Like, I hate to say this. When comedians or a lot of famous people die, we go diving in and saying like how much we adore them. It sucks that that's the way it is, but it is the way it is. Like, I don't think of Norm Macdonald often, but then seeing all the stuff from our chat to watching some of the clips and just going on YouTube and like, I forget how much I freaking was hysterically laughing as a child of his Billy Madison lines. Like, he's very little in the movie, but every time he is like, oh, look at them. They're playing Marco Polo. His voice, his demeanor, just little stuff like that.
I mean, I've been watching clips. Yeah, since I think I watched clips for 2 hours in a row when it happened. His OJ stuff, some of the funniest shit you'll ever see. And he just absolutely annihilated that guy. And you're right, his random clips when he appears on stuff, the David Spade thing, I think that, what's his name, posted Mac from Mac and Goo. And the other thing about the gift basket for Conan that 6 months later after he got canceled from The Tonight Show. He was just such a comic genius. And I think I did like him a little more than most. I know Goo probably in our DSG liked him like the most out of anybody, but I still remember to this day his joke about Ezra being better than Ezra, number one on the college charts, number two Ezra, and just that form of comedy, the way he was able to just do that, his deadpan delivery of it. And I also would always say, even myself to this day, like when things fail, like in Germans Love, David, like he was just I think he's the best Weekend Update guy ever, hands down. Ooh. I don't know. For me, it's not even close.
I know. I'm partial to Colin, but that was just my own.
He's good. He's good. Yeah.
But he took over for Norm. Don't forget. Which also, he has the best opening. Hit like watching that now. If you ever watch, I was about to call him Colin Cowherd. What is wrong with me? Anyways, if you watch his first Weekend Update and he's replacing Norm Macdonald, it is by far one of the best tributes of like pivoting to somebody else and now seeing that, you know, Norm's dead. And like the way I don't know, I watched that got me a little bit. Obviously, the Turd Ferguson stuff, fantastic on Celebrity Jeopardy, everything. Burt Reynolds, like he was a master. He was really good at it. And I think the other thing was he was super likable without being over the top or overexposed, kind of a wrestling thing. Like, and Adam Sandler, one day he is going to pass and it is going to crush me because I think I love Adam Sandler. I think it's hilarious. Mike Myers, another one. But these are very famous people that are almost more polarizing. Where Norm Macdonald toted that line. Remember also he had the Norm Show. That nobody really watched.
Only reason Dirty Work, one of my favorite movies. Oh,
and all that also involved Artie Lang. That's the reason he's a Howard Stern guy, and I listen to a lot of Artie Lang talking about the Norm Show. That's a really funny show that nobody watched. Like, if you watch some of that, I think it was on CBS. But like, just he was just right at that cusp where I think you'd want to be. But if you are a famous comedian, you probably want to make tons more money. But he's probably fairly successful. And again, on top of it, I retweeted the Anthony Jeselnik said, and this is crazy, a 10-year battle with cancer that nobody knew about. He said, like, keeping that quiet is the most Norm Macdonald thing of all time.
Yeah, I mean, he was just, you know.
Wild.
It was never about him. It was always about you know, making a ridiculous joke, and he stuck so many landings. I mean, the moth thing, I was going to start the podcast with telling that joke and just kind of ad-libbing a little, but you know, you can't do that justice. Like, he did it for so long, you forgot it was just going to be the punchline of, you know, I came in because the light was on. It's just comedic genius at its highest.
He's great. And I'd be one other thing. Obviously, it's hard to follow that, and that's a good kind of note to end on. But, Bill, I did check out a little bit of the VMAs this month. I'm sorry, this week. What the hell happened? What's going on?
I don't know. I don't watch that stuff anymore.
I'm too old. I like Lil Nas X. I like music. But there's not about music. By the way, Madonna, keep doing your squats, girl. Bill, take a look at that if you want later. Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking great. She's like 63 and, you know, unreal. But like music now, like we go from like people being outraged about the most ridiculous things, I think, in like cancel culture. But then there's like these women, I don't even remember this artist's name, who literally was dancing in her underwear and like humping another woman. And people, all I see is like, slay queen, you're the best. Oh my God, best performance of all time. I'm like, it's garbage. It's garbage. And I don't even know where the music is. Music is now basically Skinamax. That's music in 2021. It isn't about the artist, how they sing, Cardi B's, all that. It's all about what they look like and how much crap they can get away with in a YouTube video. That's really it. That's music today, Bill.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you. My TED Talk is over and my rant is. Let me get off this soapbox. This week in
the Shared Gooniverse.
Alrighty, this week in Dork, we have Dork, well, the Dork Shared Gooniverse, I should say, but Dork did the PlayStation 5 showcase. I got through none of that part, but I got through, you know, the opening stuff. You know, it's a long podcast, gotta listen to pieces. Mac and Goo, of course, did the 1989 classic Aliens, right, whichever one that was. And then CMC continued their MCU rewatch vault with Spider-Man Far From Home.
Nope, and Homecoming.
Homecoming, whatever. You have Far From Home here.
I'm an idiot.
But that's the one that's coming out, right?
Far From Home was the second one. It's good. I'm sorry. No Way Home is the new one.
All right, whatever. They did Spider-Man. and then TLDR Talk Books. By the way, the TLDR Dork team up where they reviewed the Batman was one of my favorite podcasts of all time. Nice. Fantastic. Shime was on there too. Speaking of Shime, check out all of our streamers, Arvon D, Dr. Joe, and Shime Time. But that was one of the best breakdowns. I mean, I like graphic novels. I'll grab one here or there to kind of poke around at. I like them, but this is one that, you know, I'll probably go out and get a few of these just because I love the Killing Joke, and that's more of a Joker story. And they just go so deep in all these things. And I think that's when the DSG is at their best, when they're really deep diving into your wheelhouse. You know, when we hit wrestling, we crush it. I don't know what Mac and Goo are good at, but they'll find it eventually. CMC, same thing. I don't know what they really do well, but you know, TLDR Talks Books, fantastic. I've heard it both ways. We're always in our sweet spot. We've been off for 2 weeks because of crazy scheduling, mostly on my end. But we'll be doing season 3, episode 4, and I believe that's it.
It's the first time you've given us credit, so that's all I'll take. So us and Dork, we know what we're doing sometimes, and the other guys will figure it out.
TLDR crushes, and so does Pineapple Boys.
It's really, we really got to get Goo to figure it out. You basically, Goo and Mac need to just figure it all out.
I mean, when they did the Mac and Me podcast, that was great.
Oh, don't forget also that we have, I don't think I put it on here, the What If I Listen to a podcast.
Oh, yeah, before. What If.
So it's Mac. Mac needs to figure it out.
I think Mac, we all know it's Malin and Mac.
Did you say Mail It In Mac?
Yeah.
I love that. I don't know where that came from, but I always think that's hilarious anytime I hear it. All right, Bill, that'll do it for us. We'll be back next week with more exciting musical topics and things. We'll probably put a schedule together. We've been laissez-faire this summer. We're going to kick it into high gear. We're about to get into the spooky months as well. We'll probably be doing some stuff with the Dork Boys and some.
I say we do spooky sweeps.
Holy smokes, Bill. You just blew my mind. Spooky Sweeps all October featuring other people from the Dork universe and others. And jizz. We will excited that, but appreciate you guys listening. Do check out and subscribe to the podcast over on iTunes. If you're seeing us on YouTube, hit subscribe, give it a thumbs up, share with a friend, be a friend. You're a friend. We're all friends. We can be friends. And I know one thing about Billy. He's always down for OPP. I've seen it in person. We all are a little bit. But we don't like to act upon. It's okay to look. Just don't touch. But Bill, Any fine words or any final words for the fine folks?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says hi.